Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of Vegas Scores and Odds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages. There's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right. Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and it is Monday. That means we have a lot of NFL talk to go over, including talking about the Chicago Bears' disastrous game against the New Orleans Saints. All of a sudden, the Bears are in panic mode. This does not look like a championship team whatsoever. Mike will share his thoughts on that game and all the other NFL games. We've also got World Series talk. The Fall Classic starts tomorrow on Tuesday, and we'll get Mike's thoughts on the underdog Nationals and the favorite Astros and see which way he might be leaning. We'll see if he can give us some clue as to what's going on. We'll find out how Mike did over the weekend as well. Let's bring him in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
I almost called you yesterday. Forget about the show today. I almost called you last night. I was tossing. I was turning. Hey, Aldo, it's great to talk to you, my friend. Let me get the business out of the way.
You got it.
We got a good thing going at Vegas Scores and Odds right now. Had a great Thursday. Had a great Friday. Had a great Saturday. Had a subpar Sunday. But 3 out of 4 days ain't bad. Still leading in all sports. Last 30 days, 46-32. But Denny Macklin, for the last 7 days, 11-7. We got a nice little friendly rivalry going. I'm number one in MLB since the playoffs, 19-5. I have the World Series game one up right now, ladies and gentlemen. I have NBA right now, New Orleans versus Toronto up tomorrow night. Without Zion Williamson, but that should be a good opening night. I also have, as far as other things go, the Monday night football game tonight, side and total. Free line, 1-866-504-2201. Great weekend of football, great baseball coming up and everything like that, Aldo. So, you know what? I mean, we'll try to be as positive as we can today, but you know what? We were all very frustrated yesterday, and we were all very, at times, probably irrational. But that's what happens when you're told you got a Super Bowl-type team, and now you're realizing that you're probably not going to sniff the playoffs. So it was a tough day, not only for Bear fans yesterday, but I think for the ownership of the Bears. We don't hear a peep out of the front office. They're underground. They're making Matt Nagy do all the work right now, so we'll see what happens.
It is not a very supportive general manager, Ryan Pace, I'm talking about, when he avoids the media during the season. And during the offseason, he typically has one or two major press conferences, the one right after the season and the one during the draft. I think he's added a third. So he's not very visible. And right now, at this point, with what is happening with the Chicago Bears, if I am the head of the communications department with the Chicago Bears, I tell him you need to go out there and you need to talk about your confidence level, blah, 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 whatever it is, but you need to show your face.
I agree. I agree with you. This happens in Washington with Alan, their GM. He just did his first press conference since 2015. I believe in accountability. I mean, I have accountability Tuesday or accountability Wednesday every single week to account for my picks. These guys can't account for the trash bin that they've created from a wonderful season last year, and Matt Nagy really had no answers today. I just saw on Twitter where somebody asked him, are you going to run more? He goes, of course. Well, I'm not an idiot. Yes, you are an idiot, because you've only run seven times. See, when an idiot doesn't know he's an idiot, that's the most dangerous idiot. Because when you run seven times in a football game in this day and age with a defense like that, which got worn down yesterday, but they have problems of their own too, people not performing like they did last year, but you don't help them. You can't be passing every down. You have to have the chains. And that's why, Aldo, I don't care if Jordan Howard's on the team or not. Here's what I told everybody when we got rid of him. So I'm not a Johnny-come-lately like some. Aldo knows this.
Oh, yeah.
I said he moves the chains. He keeps drives going. He isn't fancy. And what did I hear last year? The offensive line was good. Jordan Howard just isn't getting it done. Let me tell you this. If they had an offensive line, he would have had Pro Bowl years. It was the line that was bad last year. They made him the scapegoat. He's the only guy gone from last year's offense. And they have more losses, as many losses now, after seven games, as they did all last year. All I'm saying is you have to have ball control. I got an interesting stat for everybody because Aldo goes, Mike, please, give me an interesting stat. Okay. Last year, the Bears averaged 33 minutes. Okay.
Of possession.
And they were third in yards per drive, seven, mm-hmm. on a play. Mm-hmm. They also were third in amount of yards per drive. This year, they're 25th in all that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the running game, folks. Nothing else. And you can dress it all you want. We had a back, and I would tell Aldo last year, Aldo, how are we going to replace the 510 carries the last 2 years? And I never got a clear answer from Aldo, and I didn't give myself a clear answer. Nobody gave me an answer. They just said, let him go. We won't miss him. I believe they miss him. People want to double down. I saw the great Twitter thing that Aldo put up. You people would go to the same bad restaurant twice and pick the same selection, apparently, if you'd rather have David Montgomery over Jordan Howard. I'm not going to argue that point, because you know why, Aldo? We got about 10 things that are more important after looking at yesterday's game than the running game, for crying out loud, because there is no running game.
Well, and the beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, who covers the Bears, Jason Leiser, tweeted this out. According to Pro Football Reference, only 10 teams since 1960 have rushed seven times or fewer in a game. They all lost. And that's what the Bears did yesterday. They rushed it seven times. And so that is a big point, because part of the problem with running the ball successfully is you've got to do it. And I found this stat: the Bears right now are last in the league in running the ball on first down and third on passing. So you have to wonder, is our defensive coordinators already figured out Matt Nagy's offense? And so that's the problem, that, as you said, it's kind of an idiotic offense now. So to paraphrase what you just said, it's not working.
You're the one. I tweeted this out today, and I give Aldo full credit for this because he's the guy that found this. I did a little bit more investigating. I mean, even Adam Shaheen at the second round, like you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
George Kittle went in the fifth round. Yeah. Everybody missed him. But the fact is, he's in love with small college players. Tariq Cohen, Nobody's going to tell me because I tweeted out some Tariq Cohen comments saying he misses Jordan Howard. He's going to miss Jordan. Jordan Howard's presence, it was thunder and lightning. That was a big deal. Now there's nothing. There's a light drizzle, and Tariq Cohen's game has suffered this year because he's got to deal with a supposed workload rookie running back. Why would you change anything from last year's team that was 12-4? Why would you let anybody walk?
Mike.
Why would you do that? Why would you? It's like trading. You're ready to go to the Super Bowl. Let's get rid of our workload back. I don't care how many yards he gained. You know what 3.7 yards a carry last year got you? A first down if you hand it off three times in a row to him, because that comes out to 11.1 yards for three carries. Do you know that David Montgomery, you could hand him the ball three times, and he won't even get 10 yards. He's averaging 3.3. He wouldn't even get you a first down on three straight handoffs. Now, is that the Lions' fault? Is it the running back's fault? I think it's both. And by the way, David Montgomery, Aldo, I know you like him, but how many times? I mean, it's the Big 12. I mean, they play no defense to begin with. They can't stop the pass. They can't stop anything. So I still think, I don't know, does everybody think David Montgomery is going to be successful? Because I'm still on the ledge.
I think he will be, but to your point about Tariq Cohen missing Jordan Howard, Mike, you're right, because at the beginning of the season, in preseason camp, he was being interviewed by NFL Network, and with David Montgomery seated at his side, he said, I got a message for Jordan Howard, and I'm paraphrasing, I got a message for Jordan Howard, wish you were back with the team, we miss you. And I think that meant Tariq Cohen misses you, Jordan Howard. As much as he might like David Montgomery, he misses that veteran leadership and the guaranteed yards. Now, I'm still a David Montgomery fan, but to your point, I think you're correct there that Tariq Cohen probably misses Jordan Howard more than anybody else.
Oh, here's another thing, too. I don't understand it. This is what you were on the air last night. I didn't even want to listen because I would have called it 10 different times under 10 different aliases. Yeah, this is Jimmy from Alsip. Yeah, this is Tommy from – I'm an 11-year-old. I would have been going crazy yesterday, okay? But here's what I'm going to tell you. Jordan Howard's 24 years old.
Yeah, he's a young man.
He's 24.
Right.
He wasn't 34.
Right.
It wasn't his fault. He played great for the Bears. You know, hey, look, I understand he wasn't perfect, but he was perfect for this offense. Plus, he was a good blocker for Trubisky. Montgomery can't block. Cohen can't block. He's back there on an island. I just thought he was right for this team. And you know what? I'll continue to say that because, you know what? We were very successful with the team we had. I wonder how many teams picked for the Super Bowl have ever gotten rid of their dominant back the year before.
Yeah.
That's like getting rid of – I mean, seriously, do you know Al Michaels last night when you guys were on the airs? I couldn't believe this. He goes, well, Jordan Howard, he's in Philadelphia now. Boy, he had three productive years with the Bears, and, well, they just let him go. And Collinsworth goes, well, it just remains to be seen, Al. Well, I will tell you this. The last 3 years, these were the three most productive backs. Zeke Elliott, Todd Gurley, and Jordan Howard. And I'm reading nonsense today. I couldn't believe it. The three most dominant backs in the league, because there's really two big backs,
right,
and then there's a bunch of other backs.
Right.
Jordan Howard, as far as production, being on the field and with carries, was the third most productive back in football.
His name is Mike North, and you can follow him at Twitter, at North2North, the number two in the middle of those two Norths. And whether you agree with him or not, you're always going to be entertained by his opinion, and he backs it up with facts and knowledge and information and a little bit of trash talking, too, which is why he's so much fun to follow.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not into that because we're all suffering today.
Oh.
I got one for you.
Okay.
I got one for you. How about this guy, this safety that was voted 38th all time? He's looking like Mark Carrier his first year, who had 10 interceptions.
Eddie Jackson.
Eddie, what happened to this guy, the safety from Alabama? He had one tackle yesterday. What is going on? They're running for 150 yards. Where's our defense? I know we miss Akeem Hicks, but we lost the second stringers at the skill position things. It was probably back-to-back Oakland in London and New Orleans yesterday at home. Probably two of the most miserable games in a row as a Bear fan you can remember.
It is pretty miserable. There's no doubt about that.
We had such big plans, didn't we?
Oh, we did. We sure did.
We were puffing our chests in July. We were getting rolling. The Cleveland Browns and the Bears at the Super Bowl. Oh, God.
Let's listen into Matt Nagy. This is yesterday after the game when he was asked about the play calling and why they were running so infrequently. This was his immediate reaction after the game.
As bad as all that was and everything that's going on, we came in the locker room, it's 12-10. As bad as that was, 12-10. Think about that, right? So now you come out in the third quarter, they go down, they score, and then we fumble first play. That's hard. That's hard. And then before you know it, now you're down 9 points, and then it's double digits, and now all of a sudden you have to throw the ball every down because time matters.
Mike, my problem with that is that he has no commitment at all to the run. He starts saying things like, I don't like to be, you know, second down and 10. I don't like to be second down and 9. Well, I'm going to do some research after our show, and I'm going to find out how many times they throw an incompletion on first down, and it's still second and 10. So that you know more than I do that in order to establish the run, you've got to get those offensive linemen off the blocks and shooting forward, and you've got to do it 25 times a game. You do it 7 times, those guys are never going to get.
Why he got rid of Howard? Because then it would justify that he has to run the ball.
He loves to throw.
Because you know what? You've got a guy that ran 510 times in 2 years.
Right.
And was a Pro Bowl running back the year before in 2016.
Right.
He just hates running the ball. That's why he only ran it 7 times. He's going, we're up 12-10. Okay, you have one fumble and you panic? I mean, I see teams come back from 21 points on a regular basis. So I think if you and I wanted to document the problems, number one was the pick with Trubisky. Also, I think Howard being gone broke up a marriage between Thunder and Lightning Cone. Nobody's asking. Cone's keeping his mouth shut. But if anybody asks Cone who he wishes was back, forget about Bear fans who they want. Ask Cone who he'd like to be running with. It opened things up for him. But here's the thing. I think overall it's Pace and Nagy. Nagy, they said this, Andy Reid has been criticized, Aldo, the past 3 weeks for not running the ball. For not running the ball.
Right.
And guess where this guy came from? From Andy Reid's stable.
Exactly.
And he's got the same damn issue. And then when he says, am I an idiot? I know you got to run the ball. Well, maybe now you're testy. But yes, yesterday you were an idiot. I would tell him right to his face. If you ask me that question, you're an idiot because of the amount of times you ran the football. You can't win like that. That's the bottom line. Somebody said today he'd only give Peyton the ball 7 times a game. So that's his mindset. Apparently, you're not going to win like that. And not in this ain't the AFC. And by the way, what has Kansas City ever won?
Nothing. No Super Bowls. They've won
nothing.
Right.
They had the Super Bowl back in 1971 or whatever.
Right.
They never won with those guys.
With Andy Reid, correct. The Eagles got to the Super Bowl with Andy Reid but did not win, and then the Chiefs have not been to the Super Bowl with Andy Reid.
And by the way, Andy Reid called the plays for the Chiefs.
Right.
So this guy is getting his first big shot. Everything went his way last year. Now we get a few injuries. We start making excuses about that. On the same week we're playing New Orleans without Kamara and Drew Brees? I mean, we got to start thinking here, folks. They lost their 2 first stringers, and we lost to their 2nd stringers yesterday.
Yep. At Monday's press conference, Matt Nagy, you mentioned that he's getting a little testy, and he sounded that way, telling the media, you guys will never pull me down. You will ignore our team. He told his players to stay off Twitter because of all the criticism that's coming that way. And yesterday after the game, he was asked if the woes on offense are starting to take a toll on the defense, and he revealed this.
For us as a team, the frustrations, the emotions right now after the game, when you have that kind of stuff go on, it can challenge you. It really can. It can challenge you individually, and you know that's something that's completely normal. But then that's again why we build this team the way we build it, is for when situations like this come up. You know, we gotta figure out.
Don't help me.
I hear you. I hear you.
He sounds worse than Wanstead did. Here, we're not going to drag you down. We put you on our shoulders last year. What kind of ungrateful urchin is this guy? Pulling you down, you're pulling us down. We don't make the game plan out. You do, my friend. You know what I think this guy's got a problem with, Aldo, from what I'm hearing here?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, thin skin. Second of all, he doesn't want to claim responsibilities when his third team goes south. But he took all the glory when they were winning. You know, hey, Mr. Nagy, shut Club Dub down. Start getting your ass together, period.
There you go. A lot of people are saying maybe you need to shut that down. Shane Marsall, your son and the smartest man in the barroom, he said that you should start calling it Club L or Club Loser or something like that. I don't know.
I just think that now you're seeing a guy that doesn't know how to answer questions properly. He has look, everybody can communicate when things are going well.
Right.
But this guy, we're dragging him down. We're not going to let you drag us down. You're dragging your own ass down. The lack of accountability by Nagy after hearing that is stunning. It really is. It's like, you know what? I'm smarter than all you people. My friend, let me just say this to you, and I hope somebody can let him know. I've seen guys like you come and go in this town. I'll still be here. But don't ever say the fans are dragging your tired ass down. After the game you put out yesterday, you've been out coached the last 2 weeks. Put your big boy pants on. Quit blaming everybody else. Go talk to sweaty Teddy Phillips and Ryan Pace. Get in the room. I don't care if you have a seance. But don't blame us for dragging your tired ass down.
Raul Ramey in the chat room says, Club Dud. That's the way to put it.
Oh, yeah.
And Merv in the chat room.
They talk dynasty. I remember you and I did the shows during the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
And there was talk about them hippie in the dynasty. Should they win a playoff game? They were so arrogant. And their coach never kept them in check. They got the disco ball going. And now it's come back to haunt them. And now, don't talk to the media. Don't talk on Twitter. Be careful. Don't give it. He's made us in the media the villain here, when the real villain is the guy with the visor, Matt Nagy.
We'll talk about the L.A. Chargers, the Bears' upcoming opponent, a little later in the show, but I'll tell you this right now to get your immediate reaction, Mike. The Bears have opened as the favorites, giving 5.5 points. What are your immediate thoughts on that line?
Well, I watched the Chargers yesterday, and I had the Titans. They should have won the game, the Chargers. It's Phillip Rivers. I think the Bears should smoke them. I think the Bears should smoke them. And I think that they're a 5.5-point favorite tells me they're going to be playing off a team that's got a dwindling quarterback. Melvin Gordon had cracks from the 1 yard line, couldn't get it in. I won the game by 3. It was a 2.5-point spread. My God, I got lucky. It made up for the Green Bay debacle that happened on last Monday night when I lost that one. But I think the Bears should smoke them. And Khalil Mack's got to show up. The safety's got to show up. The defense has to do even more. There were no takeaways. How many takeaways we have yesterday?
I think there was 0, if I recall correctly.
When we have no takeaways, we're screwed.
Yeah.
When we have no short field, we're screwed.
Yep. Good
That's
point.
That's the bottom line.
Good point.
This guy, Nagy's an offensive genius, and we all kissed his rear end. Now he's starting to get surly with the press and with the fans. You'll get a kick in the balls. You keep doing that, son.
I like it. Mike North is on fire.
I'm pissed off. He's blaming everybody else but himself.
There you go.
Hey, I don't cash your check, pal. That's the bottom line. You get a check from the Chicago Bears as a head coach. And yesterday, I want to ask everybody this in the chat room. I love the chat room. Yesterday, for the first time, he looked like an offensive coordinator on the sidelines, not a head coach.
Oh, interesting.
He did not have that aura. That aura that he had last year, it's gone. The players carried them last year. And to me, that team didn't need many changes, and they made changes. It's unbelievable what they've done. We'll see what happens. But, you know, we have the fourth-worst quarterback in the division, that's for sure. After Rodgers went off yesterday, Stafford's playing good football. Kirk Cousins, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. For all the Kirk Cousins bashers, did you guys hear this one? He's the first quarterback in the history of the National Football League. Write this down. Right. Well, you don't have to. I'm just right. kidding. I always wanted to say that. I always wanted to be a teacher, but you have to graduate from high school. He's the first quarterback in history for 3 weeks in a row to throw for 300 yards, and they have a quarterback rating of over 130. Ever.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
So that's what we're dealing with, too. We have a quarterback who's inexperienced, who, and by the way, did we sit Trubisky? Did the press sit Trubisky during this preseason, or was it Nagy? I just want to make sure he doesn't blame us for making up the game plan and everything the way he sounded on his interviews today.
I hear you. You got any more Bears thoughts you want to share before we move on to the Vikings?
Well, yeah, I'm a little concerned about the defense, but how about two block punts? Yeah. I mean, every phase of the game went down. That's why yesterday when me and you were all having fun with the Jordan stuff.
Right.
The running game's about the fifth thing right now that we need to straighten out.
Yeah, it's a total breakdown.
The offensive line,
right.
The quarterback, the coach, the game plan.
Right.
The draft picks.
Trey Burton drops a big pass over the middle. Anthony Miller runs the wrong route on a pass play. He's starting to look like a bust. Anthony Miller, who the Bears traded up in the second round of the 2018 draft to pick up because of his skills. But he's not playing well, and he's been committing penalties and so forth. As you mentioned, Adam Shaheen, the tight end, is not showing anything worth
a second. He should be beating out Burton. Burton's at the end of the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the line, Shaheen should be beating them out. But really, I would ask everybody this: how many of your favorite pros played at Ashland College?
What college?
He went to Ashland, right?
That's correct. He did.
Wow. The only Ashland I know is Ashland Avenue.
That's
Forget
right.
about it.
Where Wells High School is. That's all I know about.
That's right. Some better tight ends probably walking down Ashland Avenue than what he's been doing.
That's right.
My God.
They're better tight ends on the Wells High School football team on Ashland Avenue. Stephen Zimmerman.
I'm not saying.
Stephen Zimmerman.
No, but I'm all bared out like everybody else is. Nobody's got the – look, the answer is they're just not getting it done this year.
Yeah.
They came out. They were flat two weeks in a row. The London trip was appalling. How about Khalil Mack? He's disappeared for 2 weeks.
He has not been playing well lately. That is true.
No. I don't even hear his name.
Yeah.
So this is what happens from year to year. They say that every year there's 5-6 new teams in the playoffs. I said this to Aldo last week. I don't know, because Aldo didn't react to it. But that's fine, because if Aldo reacted to every goofy thing I said, he'd be in a nut house. But, but really, I said after they lost to the Raiders, they're not going to the playoffs.
You did say that.
They're not. I called it. That's all I had to do. I know so much about the game I love, who I've been following since 1958.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them all. That team has no shot. This team has no shot going to the playoffs. And any Bear fan that thinks they do, keep this video. Or keep it as a bad take for me. I'll take the heat if they end up getting to the playoffs. But you ain't going to the playoffs with the Vikings, Green Bay, and Detroit in your division.
Period. Steven Zim Zimmerman says, even with Trubisky's dud of a game, NFC North quarterbacks combined for 16 touchdowns and 0 interceptions yesterday.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep.
Amazing.
We have a novice quarterback with three very good veteran quarterbacks in that division.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, and the window's closing for our defense in a year or two. It's starting to close now.
Well, I'm not going to go there yet. I think that, you know.
Is there any rope available?
I think you've got to to have at least, you know, equal time of possession to give the defense a breather. That defense was gassed because they were out on the field so quickly. I mean, it was three plays
and
out.
Did I tell you how many minutes we averaged last year in time of possession?
Yeah, you mentioned that. Absolutely. It was like
33.
Yeah.
This year we averaged 28.
It's
long 4 or 5 minutes is to a football game?
Huge.
It's two more drives, kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's turn our attention to the Vikings and Lions. The Vikings are winner again, 42-30. And this Vikings team is hot right now. And Mike Zimmer addressed the media after the game, and he talked about how well the offense is playing and the defects on the defense, because he's a former defensive coordinator, so you know he's always thinking about that and where they need to improve.
I thought Kirk had a heck of a ball game, made some great throws. Diggs obviously had a big day, and Cookie with some of the runs that he made. It was really outstanding defensively. You know, we had way too many penalties, and I obviously didn't do a good enough job preparing him for some of the passing game that we got today. So we got to clean that up, get ready in a short week, and get back to U.S. Bank Stadium and get our crowd involved in this short week.
All right. He is talking, of course, about Kirk Cousins, who threw for 337 yards, 4 touchdowns. Running back Dalvin Cook had 25 carries, 142 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's almost 6 yards per carry. Stephon Diggs had 142 yards receiving, no touchdowns, but 7 receptions. He set the tone. Now, the bad news, besides the fact that the defense gave up 30 points, is that Adam Thielen, their other top-notch wide receiver, is injured, and so he's being evaluated and probably will not play on Thursday when the Vikings face the lowly, unwinning Redskins. Mike, your thoughts on this Vikings game and what do you think about the Vikings? They're going to end up winning the division, or you think the Packers still have an edge on them?
I got to tell you something. I give Zimmer a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm.
He's unlike Nagy.
Oh,
this guy's
sure.
A veteran defensive coach.
Yep.
He could be stubborn. But after Thielen got up and buried the game plan, and after Cousins came back and sort of admitted to Thielen and Diggs, yeah, we're running too much, it's on us, this team changed. And now they have the best skill position offensive players in our division. You have Cousins, Thielen, Diggs, Cook. I'm sorry, folks. There's nobody better than those guys in our division. Aaron Rodgers is very good.
Yep.
Adams is very good. But they don't have the quadruple triangle, if there's such a thing, as the Minnesota Vikings do. Detroit's doing a good job. I mean, really, Patricia is doing, I think, a pretty good job. They just got to get a little bit better. But I think the arrow's pointing up for everybody in that division, except for the Bears.
That is true.
Everybody. Everybody's got a shot. Detroit's more hopeful. As a guy that's been watching the trials and tribulations, which have been as bad as the Cleveland Browns of the Detroit Lions for years. I mean, Wayne Fonts was their last big-time winning coach. I see this team on the right side now. I think Patricia's trying to instill that New England type of situation in, and I think it's going to take time, but at least the arrow's pointing up.
Well, the Lions, though, have lost 3 straight games and are now at the bottom of the NFC North Division. This is Matt Patricia after the game, very disappointed with his run defense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they just did a great job, you know, running the ball. You know, they knocked us off the line of scrimmage. We got to get it coached better, and we got to play it better. And definitely got to tackle. There's some situations there. We didn't finish the plays off. And he's a great running back. You know, he's a strong runner. We know that. We know we can do a lot of things out on the field. We know how dangerous they are in the run game. And when you don't get that settled down, then the play action games and the balls downfield, those are really hard to defend. So
I saw a lot of that game, Mike, and I do agree with him. The tackling was atrocious by the Lions. And, you know, give Dalvin Cook a credit. I mean, he's a power back. He's got a great ability to just take a tackler and make him look silly by either running over him or scooting around him. He's got that great power and quickness. But nonetheless, when you're at home, your defense needs to come up with a better effort than that. And but I'm with you on the Lions. They've impressed me more than I gave them credit for. I would not.
They don't stop playing. Yes. They don't stop playing now like they used to. They kept coming back yesterday trying to make something happen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, the Lions were a 1.5-point underdog, so they failed to cover. And the over on that game, Mike, was 45.5, so the over won out with a total of 72 points on that one.
Oh, by the way, I went 2-1 last week on the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. I had UCLA. I had over UCLA 2-0 with Aldo last Wednesday. And I lost Cincinnati yesterday. They're finished with 2-1. So I'm 11-10 overall. Got above 500. Just wanted to drop that in there. 3-1 with the odds couple yesterday, going to 14-9. So all's happy now.
Yeah, make sure you get over to VegasScoresAndOdds.com and take a look at their webpage. And they got all sorts of great packages there. So if you're not going over there to get some advice on your gambling, you're really missing out on some really good stuff right there.
And by the way, I didn't mean to cut you, but cut you off, Eldo, but we're up to 636 Twitter followers now on Vegas Scores and Odds. So keep going, folks. They love it. They had a following of 485, and all of a sudden it's starting to explode. I'm picking some winners. Same thing with Bears Byron. Let's get up to 10,000. We got 7, 8. Eldo puts together. He's the best producer in the business. He's a great, great wingman, but nobody has reorganized and done as good a job as Eldo. It shows that interest people, and what I like about this Bear Barroom, I'm sure last night was the same way. There's no more fawning over the Bears, especially when you have coaches blaming the press and blaming the fans.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
Eldo didn't have a voice, I thought, when he first came on. Nah. Because you were on for 2 hours last night, right?
That is correct.
How was it, like a funeral?
There was a lot of F-bombs. That show is rated R.
You guys have funeral stickers? We should have Bear funeral stickers on our windshields. You know what you put on for the funerals?
Yes.
Have blue stickers, the long one, in an orange. Funeral. And just drive around with them around Soldier Field.
Yep. All right.
Wow.
Talking about Aaron Rodgers, he had himself quite the day yesterday, right? 5 touchdown passes and then another one rushing. 6 touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest performances in the history of the Green Bay Packers franchise, and they've had some outstanding quarterbacks. One really interesting stat about Rodgers' performance against the Raiders yesterday in that 42-24 win is that 300 of the 2 passing yards that he had were outside the numbers. And so that means they weren't little checkdowns. They weren't those little, you know, 1-yard screen passes, those crossing passes. These were wide receivers going down the field and making great catches and Rodgers making great throws. This was Rodgers after the game talking about the protection he's getting from his offensive line.
Oh, I mean, Jimmy's great in the huddle.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Here it
Jimmy!
Is.
Jimmy! I mean, he's one of the best of all time.
Well, that's John Gruden talking about.
Johnny get this.
There it goes.
A lot of balls thrown on time, and obviously the line played fantastic. You know, I think we've had 7 sacks in the last 6 games. It's pretty remarkable for those guys, the way they're playing. Again, Brian and Dave have been, you know, rocks, but the inner 3 have really been playing well.
And then this is is John Gruden on Aaron Rodgers. That was boring, so I cut it off short.
Oh, man, he's one of the best of all time. You know, made a couple great audibles, made a couple great throws. Tough as hell. I mean, we hit him a few times. It didn't bother him one bit. You know, they're missing Devontae Adams, but he just did a great job.
That is great praise, I think, and deserved praise for Aaron Rodgers. As much as we Chicago Bears fans dislike Aaron Rodgers for his behavior and his kind of uppity attitude and things that he says, the guy is a performer. You know,
he's a performer, and he's gotten better. He's not blaming his teammates anymore. Things are going good. When things were going bad, he was throwing everybody under the bus. That's what turned a lot of people off about him. Yesterday's performance was fantastic. Tom Brady's still the greatest quarterback who ever lived. I don't care what Gruden said or says or whatever, but Aaron Rodgers, you got to give credit where credit's due. At the end of the day, what's going to set Aaron Rodgers as the top echelon, one of the top echelon great quarterbacks of all time, is winning more than one Super Bowl. I mean, McMahon won one. Jeff Hostetler won one. Phil Simms won one. Aaron Rodgers has won one. He's got to win that second Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's a stat stuffer who does a great job during the regular season, and he couldn't get it done. Not just him, his team. Now, he's got a shot. He's got a good shot. And this new coach and the team seems to love Aaron Rodgers, and a lot of the old guard's gone from that Green Bay team. They've kept his offensive line together, so good for them. They got rid of McCarthy, a Super Bowl coach, and they brought somebody else in. And this guy, they said there was going to be friction. He gave Aaron Rodgers a game ball yesterday. There seems to be a lot of love in that room right now.
Oil Pan Willie is in the chat room, and he says
Oil Pan Willie.
He's quite the guy. Let me show you how dedicated he is to this show in Bears Power Room. He says that he's in an OSHA 10-hour meeting at work, but he's got an earbud on and listening with one ear to you, Mike North, and the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage, and in the other ear, he's paying attention to safety issues at his workplace.
Here's what I want, Oil. Hey, listen, there's only one thing. I know what OSHA does. They're good.
Oh, yeah.
They have the environment going, the whole thing, right? Clean
right.
everything up.
Right.
I love them. Here's what I want Oil Pan Willie to do in the middle of this meeting. I'd like him to stand up and say, Mike North and Aldo Gandia are on Bears Bar Room right now. And they would appreciate it if you could lift the ban on burning leaves in the fall. Thank you. Now I'm going to go back. I have never forgotten what they did to us. We used to love burning leaves.
Oh.
And one day, it was gone.
That is true.
That's awesome. That I love true. It. They act like he's listening to the boss and everything, and he's listening to me and you bitch and moan about Nagy and Howard and Rodgers is good. You're the best, Oil Can.
Hey, do you remember, Mike? I mean, when we were young, the baseball World Series games, postseason games, were all in the afternoon. There was a period of time where World Series games were not played at night. And so at school, we would have our transistor radio and a little earbud thing, and we would be sneaking in updates of the game during class. I did it. Did you do it?
Here's what they did at St. Gertrude's, and everybody remembers it. I think the school had about 3 or 4 TVs total, okay? But certain nuns liked baseball more than others, and we had this one nun named Sister Mary Agnes, 7th grade. We watched it, 1 o'clock. Yankees, Cardinals, 1964. We're watching the World Series. They used to let us watch it. Plus, you're right, we'd have the transistor if we couldn't listen, and we'd have the earpiece with the wire
right.
going up our shirt.
Yeah, right, right.
Like we were wearing hearing aids. And then when we got caught, we got our ass kicked. But boy, wild laughs, and it was great.
Yeah, you're at Catholic school. When you do something wrong, it's corporal
Black
punishment.
Black and white TV, Cardinals, Bob Gibson on the mound.
That's right.
You know, playing against Whitey, pitching against Whitey Ford. Are you kidding me? Jim Bouton, Mantle. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, one last note about the Packers game and Raiders that I thought was interesting that I found is that Aaron Rodgers at home has a tremendous record against the spread. 50 wins, 18 losses, 3 pushes.
Wow.
Against the spread at Lambeau, you really got to consider that as a good bet. On the road, it's not nearly
that's
as good.
That's a good call, Aldo. I would. That's a trend. I don't like trends, but that's a great one.
Yeah.
50 and 18. How about this one? Teddy Bridgewater. Carmen had this one. Carmen DeFalco.
Uh-huh.
26-7 against the spread as a starter.
Wow. That is a good one. Rodgers.
Teddy Bridgewater may go down in history someday as the second, the best number 2 quarterback who ever lived. My God.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
Mike, don't you think that he could be a starter with some teams in the NFL? Chicago Bears. Don't you?
Oh, I was just going to say, look, the Bears got to go out and look for a quarterback. You got to admit, sometimes you got to admit when you did wrong. They're going to have to go out and get somebody else. Chase Daniel, I think, plays a better game yesterday than Trubisky. Here's what I do know. Yesterday, Trubisky threw or completed 4 of 14 passes over 10 yards. The rest were under 10 yards.
Yep. How about that? That is amazing.
That's John Fox.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
John Fox days.
Exactly. Mike, yesterday I sent out a tweet at halftime just asking the question, you know, shouldn't we consider Chase Daniel to start the second half?
Yes.
And Bears fans came at me like I had the plague, you know, and I'm like, I just asked a question. But I got to tell you this.
No. They all know better. That's why there's so many world championship posters. No, there isn't. Look, even that poll you put out. Anybody that would rather have David Montgomery now and we moved up for him over Jordan Howard's nuts. But you know what? Bear fans love who their own team, guys. They have no use for anybody that was on the team, used to be on the team. Look, you don't think it hurt me to watch Alshon Jeffrey and Jordan Howard
mm-hmm.
on the same team?
Yeah.
Yesterday night?
Yeah.
Former Bears?
Yep.
Look, think about this. Robbie Gould. Gone. Alshon Jeffrey, gone. I mean, think of some of the players that we've gotten rid of that are pretty good players. I mean, it's amazing if you look around the league. Jordan Howard, gone. I mean, I just think, you know what, the defense has got to, if they get turnovers, we'll win next week. That's it.
And that is huge. The Chargers are our opponent next week, our being the Bears. And the Chargers lost a controversial game to the Titans yesterday, 23-20. There were a couple of, towards the end of the game, there were a couple of goal line rushes by the Chargers. They thought they had the ball in, but reviews nullified the calls. And so the Chargers end up a loser by 3 points. Mike, I know you like the Bears to cover the 5.5. Here's one reason why I kind of like where you're thinking. So the Chargers had to fly 2,000 miles to that game in Nashville yesterday. Now they fly back to Los Angeles, and then they're going to fly back another 2,000 miles to Chicago. That's 12 hours. No, four times four is 16 hours of air travel in about 7 days. That's a lot for a football team. I would be surprised if the – and here's another one. The Chargers' offensive line is dealing with multiple injuries. Almost every starter on that offensive line might miss that game. So Phillip Rivers should be dead meat for Khalil Mack and the Bears. So
they should have won that game yesterday. I had the Titans minus 2.5. They're up by 3.
Wow.
They're on the goal line. They run Melvin Gordon, who was a holdout. This year, he couldn't gain an inch.
Right.
Then they run it again on third down.
Right.
I'm going, oh, my God. And then what happened was the clock ran out. They screwed up the clock.
Oh, okay.
Phillip Rivers, I was finally the beneficiary of his ineptness and the Chargers' ineptness. By the way, don't think that they don't like – they'd rather be on the road than playing in front of 20,000 at their soccer field. Believe me when I tell you this. I was hearing that. They should have won that game yesterday, and I know I got bailed out. I'm no genius. That was on the Chargers, so be careful of the Chargers. But that's a gut-wrenching loss for them, and like Aldo says, a lot of travel.
Mike, are you like literally on the edge of your seat during that moment of the game where they got the ball?
Me and B were watching the game. It was an afternoon game.
Uh-huh.
I had just – listen to this. You want to hear the best one?
Mm-hmm.
I went 3-1. I had a 5-2 week between Bears Barroom and the odds couple.
Nice.
I had the Redskins.
Really?
+9.5 at 12 o'clock. So the first game I'm watching,
uh-huh.
I'm getting 9.5. It's 9-0, the final. I had arm numbness. I had 2 dizzy spells. I was panting. My dog was panting. And it held up. And you know, I'm proud of this.
Uh-huh.
It's the first time a team that got shut out covered a spread in the history of the National Football League.
Oh, how about that? How about that?
And points to 9. So now, you know, I'm starting to recover. The dog is laying on his back now, exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Tennessee game comes, and they take 3 straight shots from the goal line. And I got Tennessee. I'm screwed if San Diego, if the LA Chargers score. 3 straight times they didn't make it.
Amazing.
So I got bailed out yesterday. So last night, see, because I had the South Carolina game Saturday, I lost that. So I'm 2-1. Last night, I finally got an easy one, the Cowboys.
And you deserved an easy one.
Oh, my God. The 9-0 Washington game. Listen to what happened in this game. Washington, it's only 7-0 they're down. I mean, 6-0 they're down. The guy for the other team gets the ball, mm-hmm. running back.
Okay. Adrian Peterson?
No. Who did Washington play? Oh, San Francisco. Guy for San Francisco gets the ball, 6-0.
Okay.
He fumbles it.
Mm-hmm.
Washington recovers, but the refs blew the whistle too soon. The ref blew the whistle saying the umpire wasn't in his right spot after spotting the ball.
Oh, my goodness.
So they didn't get that fumble. You believe this crap I got to put up with after the Green Bay game? That was almost and that's a difference maker for a team like a bad team like the Redskins. These refs, they had a better day yesterday. There weren't as many penalties called.
Correct.
I think the less penalties called, Aldo, I think the better the officiating.
You're absolutely right. They have to pick up some of these flags, let these guys play, because they are inept at making calls. So why make
it? Horrible.
All right. Hey, you were talking about the 49ers and Redskins, that 9-0 game. I got a little sound here from George Kittle, the tight end that got away from the Chicago Bears and a lot of other teams. He was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo's leadership. And let's remember, these 49ers are undefeated. They're 6-0. This is Kittle, who's got a great Gronk-like personality. Listen to him here.
Jimmy's great in the huddle. I think I do a great job. I try to make him laugh every time we get in the huddle. You know, if it gets too serious, it's pretty awesome, actually. He gets pretty mad at me. But he's great in the huddle, though. I mean, I think I said it multiple times, the leadership that he carries, the voice that he has, both on the sideline and in the huddle, it's incredible. And, I mean, he's what makes our team click. And, you know, he's the leader. And being able to have someone like that who kind of carries the team, whether he's, you know, throwing for how many yards or rushing for how many yards, but his voice takes us a long way.
Mike, there were rumors that the Bears were interested in trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. So you could add him to the list of players that Ryan Pace let get away. I mean, they ended up trading for Garoppolo. I forgot exactly what the trade details were, but it wasn't nearly what other teams, football pundits said they were going to get. It was like one draft pick, a first rounder or something like that. It wasn't multiple first round picks and so forth. So do you like Jimmy Garoppolo, the kid who grew up in Chicago playing in the Chicago lots?
Let's see. He's Italian. He's from Chicago. Went to Eastern Illinois.
That's right.
Yeah, I love the guy. And you know what? John Lynch scared Ryan Pace into moving up by telling him he was going to take Trubisky. Pace moves up, then they go and sign, and they get Garoppolo. And that's how that whole thing. And I've never heard anybody. That's what we supposedly heard, but it's never been substantiated. I think, you know what, Jimmy Garoppolo looks like a normal-sized Lou Ferrigno, first of all. I'd like to say that. Doesn't he? He looks like a normal-sized Lou Ferrigno. And he's looking good. Yesterday, you had to see, it was a fun game. It was pouring. When you made a tackle, they slid 20 yards.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was the perfect time for me to get 10 points because nobody was scoring. I mean, you know what? They were crippled up. There was a lot of hitting going on. A lot of, you had to take care of the ball.
Right.
I know Adrian Peterson had a big fumble. He's been doing that lately. I don't think he's long. I mean, I like Adrian Peterson, but, you know, when he's starting to put the ball on the turf 2 times in the last 3 weeks, which has hurt them. He does it in the red zone, too. So that's a sign. But you know what? It was a fun game to watch. I ended up winning it. I was very fortunate yesterday. I knocked, you know, I had the shamrock up my you-know-what.
Mike, the only two undefeated teams, the 49ers and the Patriots, do you think their schedule has anything to do with it, given that the Patriots' opponents are 10-24 this year and the 49ers' opponents are 8-21? Isn't that something, huh? Schedule means everything.
Well,
in the NFL.
Were the 49ers last year?
49ers last year record, well, they did not have a good season. Let me see if I can find that. Really,
well, they were bad. See, to me, New England's been the beneficiary of being in the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the worst division maybe in all of sports for the last 20 years.
You ain't kidding.
I mean, would the Patriots be just as good if they were in the NFC North or in the AFC North with Steelers back in the day? I don't know. But they've had a great run because they've been in, and I think, the biggest patsy division in football history. But now the Buffalo Bills are getting better.
Yep.
They're 5-1. They look good. They're starting to perk up. They got a big Jets game tonight, although they're 9.5-point favorites. But they're still the Patriots, and they win the games. And then when they get to the playoffs, they play tough teams, and they win.
Indeed. And, yeah, they were 4-12 last year. The 49ers were. So that's probably
right. Yeah, so, I mean, I can't say pick on them because they were as bad as the teams that they were playing.
Indeed.
This year they got an easy schedule. But it's almost like they're doing what the Bears did last year.
Yeah. It's a very good point. Very good point. All right, the Jacksonville-Cincinnati game, that's one that you wish you could have had back. The Jacksonville Jaguars, a 10-point winner. The Jags' defense came up with three interceptions and a defensive touchdown. And then quarterback Gardner Minshew had kind of a bounce-back game. The Bengals, they rushed the ball 33 yards the entire game, and all 33 came from quarterback Andy Dalton. So if you think the Bears have problems running the ball, the Bengals do too. But the Bengals have yet to win a game this season. I don't know if
I... You know what I said yesterday?
Uh-huh.
First time I've ever said it. First time I said the B. Where's Marvin Lewis?
Bring Marvin back is the chant.
Where's Marvin Lewis? I 16 years. Believe me when I tell you this. I think he stayed too long. But he never looked this bad. They never looked this bad. And they got a Sean McVay disciple as their coach, so look out.
There you go. Buffalo and Miami, the Bills, a 10-point winner. And, Mike, if you bet the over on that game, you had to be really happy that the Dolphins scored with a minute 45 to go to get you over the over. And then on the onside kick, the Buffalo Bills recover the onside kick and take it in for a touchdown to really cement the over win for those of you who bet the over on that game. So that's...
And if you had the under, you're hanging from a light in the town square.
Exactly. 29 points scored in the fourth quarter of that game, Mike.
I know. On an onside kick, I saw that one. We had two. You know, they tried to make the rules even harder to recover an onside kick, but New Orleans fumbled one yesterday.
Yep.
The 49ers, that was a great play where the player jumped up in the air, out-jumped everybody, and just ran in for a touchdown. A nightmare for the folks who had the under.
Yeah, special teams coaches are starting to figure out new ways to get around the rules and come up with some big plays on special teams. Hopefully the Bears can do more of that. Cordero Patterson ran a 102-yard kickoff return yesterday, but outside of that, the special teams played really poorly, giving up like...
No, you're right about that. If he doesn't have that kickoff return, they're even worse off.
That's right.
You're right, though. I mean, the special teams, to get two punts blocked,
ugh.
I mean... That's horrible, man.
Atrocious.
And you know what, O'Donnell, you don't have all day. I understand. Try to pick up a centimeter more faster of a second to get rid of that ball because the line doesn't look very good. Not only our offensive line is bad, our special teams line is bad.
Yeah, there's some serious issues, and the offensive line coach Harry Hiestan, who came over here with such a high pedigree. He's let us down. Let's just be honest about that. Those guys are not performing. And
how bad is Kyle Long if he can't make this team?
Oh, I know. Well, he's...
How bad off was he? How banged up was he, number one?
Mm-hmm.
How inefficient was he near the end of his career?
Mm-hmm.
With the guys that they got now?
Yeah. Well,
man,
I'll tell you one thing, and I'm not the one of those guys that looks back at the tape and evaluates all that stuff, but I think that his replacement, Rashard Coward, might have had the best game of any of the offensive linemen yesterday. And so that's an indictment to the rookie at – or not yep. the rookie, but the second-year player at center, the fourth-year guy at left guard, and on and on. Anyway, I want to get to Earl Thomas – who now plays yeah. for the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens and Earl Thomas went to Seattle. Of course, Earl Thomas played many years for Seattle Seahawks. They come away, the Ravens come away with a 30-16 win. An emotional Earl Thomas was asked about coming back to Seattle and the fact that his teammates all said that they wanted to win the game for Earl Thomas. This is Earl Thomas.
Right. That means everything, dog. That means everything, bro. To come here and eat, like, the guys just fight so hard. Lamar Jackson, I can't say enough about that cat, bro. Like, he's the truth. When we needed him, he came. He came through with his legs and his arm. I definitely came in here with a purpose, and we got it done.
That's kind of heartwarming, although the way he left Seattle, if you recall, he was giving the middle finger to Pete Carroll as he was being hauled off the field, suffering a knee injury last season. So it wasn't the most gracious exit from Seattle, but he got the win yesterday, and that's what's important to Earl Thomas.
Yeah, and you know what? I give him credit, and by the way, Coolidge is great. Lamar Jackson. I call him Coolidge from he is so good. And, you know, everybody, who would have thought? Everybody doubted this kid. Not only is he probably as quick as Michael Vick was as the running quarterback, mm-hmm. he knows how to throw the football, too. I mean, and, you know, everybody was predicting stardom for other people, and this kid's the star. I mean, I thought they were nuts when they got rid of Flacco. And you know what? They weren't. They know what they got. And I give him all the credit in the world. Coolidge is unbelievable. Wait, was Coolidge on the White Shadow?
No, that was somebody else. Because Lawrence Hilton Jacobs played Coolidge on.
Okay, Coolidge.
On Welcome Back, Cotter.
He didn't play Washington?
No, it was. Well, I'll have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure.
I gotta check that out. Yeah. Should I go to the black box?
You go to the black box, and I'll talk a little bit about the one other game that we did not cover, and that is the Rams scoring 37 points, the Falcons 10. Jared Goff finally had a good game. I have him on my fantasy team. I don't know why I still have him on my fantasy team, but he threw 37 passes, completing 22, two touchdown passes. And I got to tell you, it looks like it's about over for Matt Ryan, the Falcons quarterback. He got injured yesterday through a interception on 16 of 27, left the game. And then the old-time veteran Matt Schaub came in. He was 6-6 through a touchdown pass. But these Falcons are now 1-6. Rams are back on the winning track there. So let's keep an eye on what the Rams are going to do moving forward. Are they going to become the playoff contender everyone predicted they would be? And then we'll keep an eye on what happens to Matt Ryan. But clearly the Falcons will be looking for a new quarterback come the NFL draft of 2020.
You know what? Matt Ryan. Now, you mentioned a couple quarterbacks, and I keep going back to our Bears.
Mm-hmm.
He'd look good in a Bear uniform. I think what the Bears got to do is something dramatic because their defense has got about a 2-3 year window left.
Right.
Khalil Mack's going to only have 2 years left after this.
Right.
On his contract.
Correct.
So, I mean, do you try to get somebody like that? See, I remember, that doesn't always work. Remember Sam Bradford?
Yeah, sure, absolutely, yes. And a lot of people
Sam Bradford was on like five different teams because everybody thought, we can grab this guy and make it work.
Right.
So I don't know if Ryan's one of those guys. Even when they had a pretty good defense, Matty Ice couldn't get it done.
Correct. Sam Bradford was a number one overall pick for the then St. Louis Rams and immediately got hurt, and it was injury after injury. He never played to anywhere near the potential that he had. He was a turnover machine. He jumped around. I don't know. I don't think he's in the league anymore. But so you got to be careful. You don't want to pick up a Rick Meyer like the Bears did. Remember the Rick Meyer?
No, but I mean, Bradford had that talent where you thought if he could stay free of injury,
I thought you could change him.
Because Ryan, has he taken too many losses? Plus, he just got hurt. or see a guy you'd like to see maybe in a different uniform. Maybe it's time for a change of scenery. By the way, he played Freddie Boom Boom Washington. So, yes, he played Washington. I think the other guy played on the White Shadow.
Right.
That's me.
Right.
You know?
Right. Great show.
I just stopped the show suddenly to let everybody know that Lawrence Hilton Jacobs played Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
There you go. Now, I got to tell you, if you're looking for a quarterback, I'm looking up Teddy Bridgewater's contract status. He signed a one-year deal with the Saints. He should be available next season. I would seriously consider him.
Who would you rather have, Matt Ryan or Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
Matt Ryan has a better arm, but I just think there's too much wear and tear on Matt Ryan right now, and Teddy Bridgewater has recovered 100% from that terrible knee injury that he had. So I would give the edge to Teddy Bridgewater, but I'm with you. I would take either one of those guys over the quarterback we have now, and maybe it would be good for Mitch Trubisky to sit on the bench for a year and learn from a competent quarterback on what it takes to win in this league, because right now he's just not showing it.
Well, we'll see what happens. They got another game this week, and you know what? The bottom line is, though, I mean, the playoffs, I think, are done. I mean, are we going to get the wild card out of that? Even if we were, I don't think we're in position to do it. Look at Green Bay with one loss now. I mean, you know, we already got four. It's going to take – I mean, really think about it. To win 10 games, you can only lose a couple more.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's going to be tough.
It all starts next week. I mean, you talk about a must-win game against the Chargers at home. If you don't win that game, I'm a little worried about our ratings here at Bears Barroom. People are going to be jumping shit.
Are you kidding me with the personalities we have? Shane? Little Nicky? I love little Nicky.
He's the best.
You? Come on now.
He's the best.
Johnny Buffone? Come on now.
Awesome.
Don't worry. You know what? Let me take it from a guy who knows, Aldo.
Okay.
The ratings were better during football season when the Bears had like a more balanced type deal, like 4-4, 5-4. You know, when the Bulls used to lose, like the year that they were 72-10,
right?
You know when the phones would ring?
When?
When they lost.
Oh.
I mean, I can't believe to this day people would start to panic. How did we lose that game? Yeah, it's really rough. We're 52-3 right now. Good luck to you. You know what I mean?
That's right.
But seriously, that's how insane it was.
Yeah. I hear you. And you know what? That last year of John Fox, that was probably up until this year and last. That was our biggest year at Bears Barroom. People just tuned in to listen to us bash John Fox and the Bears.
Well, let me ask you something. John Fox's last year, Nagy this year. I can't tell the difference.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't.
Yeah.
Talking about short passes, the Bears threw 45 passes under 10 yards yesterday.
Yep.
That's John Fox territory,
that
folks.
That is indeed.
That's what he got criticized for. You know?
Very true.
And then there's other people that say Nagy knows what he's got in Trubisky. But Nagy was enamored with Trubisky when he's in his last year with the Chiefs as an assistant. So, you know, you can't have it both ways.
You can't. That is very true. Mike, I would be remiss if I didn't get your thoughts on that Texans-Colts game. The Colts, a winner, 30-23, and Jacoby Brissett throws for 4 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions, 326 yards. Andrew Luck, who?
I am so happy about this.
How about it?
The classless, he walks out on the team, doesn't want to do it anymore. The team says, screw you. We're going to give Brissett a 3-year deal, and this guy has made everybody forget about the injuries of Andrew Luck, the media fawning of Andrew Luck. Not that Andrew Luck was a bad quarterback, but the classless way and just how I don't want to play anymore. A week before the season, good for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. I hear you. Boy, Jacoby Brissett would look good in a Bears uniform right about
now. You know what, though? How many of the, if Bradshaw would have been drafted by the Bears, he would never be in the Hall of Fame. You know, everybody thinks that if the Bears get the same quarterbacks that are good other places.
Very true.
I don't think, Would Watson, Deshaun Watson, be good with the Bears?
Very,
I would hope he would.
Very true.
But once they get their hands on somebody, they ruin them for the most part.
It sure does seem that way, right?
McMahon was the only guy. You know why McMahon was great?
Right.
Why? And Harbaugh, to a certain extent. Leave me alone. I'm a good quarterback. Leave me alone. I'll get it done.
Yeah.
They never tinkered with McMahon.
Yep.
They left him alone.
Yeah,
and that was
true.
It. Because the guy held 72 records. He knew how to play the position. See, to draft somebody that doesn't know how to play the position at such a high number two spot is ludicrous now. It's just ludicrous. Especially, and like, by the way, we missed on Kittle that year. We missed on McCaffrey, Watson, and others. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy, absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, as soon as this show is done, I'm going to go have a good cry in the shower so nobody can see me.
You know what? I think we've had a pretty good upbeat show, though. We're not really. Yesterday was when everybody was really pissed.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
because I saw a flat ball club. Yeah. Hey, yeah. By the way, anytime that Fuller wants to jump a pass, that's fine with me too. My God, what happened to him?
Yeah, last couple of games or so, he's not been playing well.
Giving cushion now.
Oh my gosh, it's like they're.
Well, see, they don't have the pass rush anymore. And what makes a lack of a pass rush? It makes defensive backs not look as good as they did.
Yeah, absolutely. You got that right, 110%. Speaking of 110%, let's talk a little bit about, before we sign off here, the 2019 right. World Series. It is the favorite Houston Astros against the Washington Nationals. The Nationals are big-time underdogs for this game, which I'm a little bit surprised at. And now you follow baseball much closer than me. Are mm-hmm. you surprised at the fact that the odds makers are leaning so heavily towards the Astros?
No. And the reason is, I know who's got the name pitchers, believe me when I tell you this. I have nothing against Washington. I love the fact they won without Bryce Harper. I love the fact that, you know, they got great pitching. Corbin, Scherzer, Verlander's on Houston, excuse me. But those two guys, Strasburg. But, you know, you got Verlander and Cole on the other team, and they're better hitters. I just think that the hitting and with the combination of pitching, I just think Houston wins this thing. I got game one up for tomorrow. If you want to go to Vegas Scores and Odds, check that out, folks. I think that Houston wins the series. But you know what? Game one, I like to go game by game. I got a great pick up there. Like Eldo said, big underdogs, huge underdogs is the Washington Nationals. And you got Scherzer going tomorrow. So you know what? It's going to be an interesting game. Check it out at Vegas Scores and Odds. Check out that free line. Go to the front page. By the way, follow Eldo Gandia at Eldo Gandia and at North to North on Twitter. Make sure you go to at Bears Barroom for Twitter. And, of course, follow. They're up to 636 now. We're starting to – when you win, people come. 636 people. Let's keep it going, folks.
Sounds good. Hey, before I let you go, James Kessel just sent me a message and said, don't forget that McMahon won a Super Bowl as the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. So he has two rings. It's a tarnished one, if you want my opinion. Then he also wants you.
Yeah, I don't even consider that.
Yeah.
I don't consider that one. I don't, because he didn't even play. Wasn't that with Favre? Favre never left the field.
Exactly,
right?
He never played.
I guess he came in for mop-up.
I don't even know that he played on the scout team because he was probably hurt all the time. Anyway, but James does want to ask you this question: would you take Andy Dalton for the Bears quarterback next year?
No.
I'm with you.
I would. He's had Green out there. He's had some good teams out there. Tyler Eifert at tight end. Yesterday, look, I'm not blaming him for this year's team,
right.
But he's had some bad games. He hasn't been able to win in prime time. I would go in another direction. Andy Dalton would not surprise or would not suffice for Chicago Bear fans.
There you go. I am with
you. Although if you paint his face blue with with the orange hair. Yeah. He'd be like the logo. You know, they should put an orange C over his face. Paint his face blue. You got the red hair or the orange hair and a big red orange C right on his face barking out signals.
That is great.
You know what? I would lean towards Matty Ryan before Dalton big time if either was available. How about Cam Newton they're talking? Might be gone.
Oh, I don't know about Cam. I think he is beat up so badly, I don't think that he'll ever be the quarterback he once
was.
They're
winning every game. How come everybody else gets second-string quarterbacks win every game? We can't win with our first stringer.
Mike, you are asking a question that has plagued me for years and years and years.
Boy, it really plagued us last night. Oh, I don't like going to bed with one eye open all night. Should I be waking up at 4 in the morning going, wait, and here's another thing. How could we not take an offensive lineman in the draft last year?
Oh, my goodness.
I checked last year's draft.
Uh-huh.
We didn't take a lineman.
No. No. They thought they had it all figured out. They signed Charles Leonard.
Oh, my God!
A big contract.
Oh, my God! Yeah. We didn't take a lineman. They better draft nothing but linemen this year.
Well, and a quarterback, right?
Oh, God, kill me now.
All right.
No, hand me the chainsaw. It's in the corner right there. But
I got to put some gas in it first because I used it all up last night.
That's all right. I'll go get it. It couldn't come fast enough.
Make sure you go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com to see what Mike has for you in World Series. And, Mike, again, just another great show. You make Monday so enjoyable for me, especially after these Bears losses. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Aldo. Great job as usual. The cuts were fantastic. Love you like a brother. You know that. Bears Barroom, folks, the podcast will be up, about a half hour, 40 minutes from now.
Exactly.
We got Wednesday. I'll be on live with Aldo at 3 o'clock. I have 3 picks, 11 and 10. Don't forget, with Bears Barroom, I bounced right back.
That's
went
right.
2-1 this week. So, you know what? Everything's good. Aldo, you have a great one, my friend, and to the folks in the barroom.
Likewise, my best to be. Take care now.
All right, buddy.